Some sky. I've got me some wings. But wait till I've flown. You're gonna hear from me. Make me some room, you people up there. On top of the world, I'll meet you, I swear. I'm staking my claim. Remember my name.
Recreation Commission for the City of Goleta. Today is Wednesday, November 13th, 2013. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Ms. Lopez, can we have a roll call?
Commissioner Dullowan?
Here.
Commissioner Hart?
Here.
Commissioner Richards?
Here.
Commissioner Smith?
Here.
Commissioner West?
Here.
Vice Chair Barsky?
Here.
Chair Rojas?
Here. This is the time of the evening where we asked anybody in the audience if there's any speakers on the public forum period of our commission hearing, and there are no public in our room, so check that one off. Moving on to item A1, we have a staff presentation on the overview of the city's budget process.
Mr. Chair and members of the Parks Commission, staff is pleased tonight to bring you Ms. Tina Rivera, our finance director, who will be conducting a presentation regarding an overview of the city's budget process. As we have in prior meetings with the commission, we've scheduled a number of presentations for you to bring you up to speed on the various policies and programs and things that the city's involved in. And one of the items that the commission expressed an interest in was an overview of the city's budget process. What is it? How does it work? How large is it? How ominous is it? And so forth. And so Tina is our budget expert, and so we're pleased to have her here tonight with us. And at this point, I'm going to turn it over to her for her PowerPoint presentation.
Good evening. It's my pleasure to be here. I'll ask for your pardon as we go through the presentation. I am a little under the weather, but I couldn't miss the opportunity to be here tonight, and so let's get started. The first slide here is basically an indication of what the budget is. It's not simply an accounting document, but it's a tool for the planning and the management of public resources. With that, we're going to talk a little bit more about the definition. It is, like I said, an official document, and it is required by law that the city have a balanced budget yearly. And when we talk about balance, I will clarify that there's two types of balancing that can be done. One is what a lot of agencies and the state has considered to be a balanced budget, meaning that they have enough money to cover the expenses that they are about to incur. And the distinction that I like to use is a structural balance, whereas your ongoing revenues are sufficient to cover ongoing operations. Very big distinction. And I'll get into that a little further as we go along. Now, what does the budget serve as far as a purpose? It helps not only the city staff and the public officials in prioritizing their needs. It serves as a plan which identifies how the uses or the use of funds will be handled. And it also identifies the sources of funds for the city. Now, our presentation today will be focused on the general fund, but as many of you are aware, the city actually has over 30 different funds, most of which are restricted funds. We call them special or restricted funds, meaning that there is some legal requirement that specifies how and where they can be used. Most common are transportation-related grants or funds. And again, tonight's presentation will cover the general fund, as that is the funding source that is most commonly used for discretionary purposes by the city council and most agencies. As far as the city's general fund revenues for the current year, which is fiscal year 13-14, it is about $21.8 million, close to $22 million. As you can see, TOT, which is actually short for transient occupancy tax, but most commonly known as bed tax, as well as sales tax, those two are the largest components of the city's general fund, making up over 56% of the city's general fund revenues, with property tax coming in at another 24%. And then you have some minor other sources, such as licenses and service charges, franchise fees, miscellaneous revenues, and what you see there listed as transfers is actually transfers from reserves, meaning that we will be using reserves, about $1.2 million to be exact in the current year, is planned of built-up reserves that the city will be using. As far as uses for those revenue sources, we've, again, come up with the identical number, 21.8. That's what you call balancing. Over one-third of those revenues are going to be spent on public safety. So the sheriff's contract that the city has, that accounts for those costs. Then the second largest component is the general government section. And, you know, for the general public, general government is composed of the city manager, city attorney, IT, city clerk, the city council, also any insurance related to the city liability, workers' comp, rents, anything that is in the overall administration of the organization, that's covered under general government. And that's what composes 19%. As you can see, both planning and environmental review services and public works is about 12-13% each. And neighborhood services and finance make up a total of 8% together. And then you've got CIP, which are your capital improvement projects, at about 5%. And then there's the non-departmental at about 9%. Anything that does not fall within any of those categories is identified as non-departmental. And please feel free to ask any questions as we're going along, but there will also be an opportunity at the end of the presentation to ask any questions. Now, in terms of the overall budget process, there are some key players in the formation. First and foremost are the citizens of Goleta, which our goal is to have their input, whether directly to staff or via their elected representatives, the city council. We also take into consideration what the departments themselves have discovered in terms of the needs and the desires of the organization. And hopefully, what the city council and what the department directors are establishing as priorities or desires of the organization is representative of the citizenry, because that is our ultimate purpose, is to meet their needs and meet their expectations. Now, speaking specifically about the City of Goleta's budget, the City of Goleta adopts a two-year budget plan. Currently, the city has just adopted the budget plan for the current year and the next fiscal year, which ends on June 30th, 2015. The city does perform quarterly reviews of all of this information because, of course, the budget document is a living document. It changes. Conditions change. Needs change. Priorities change. Although we like to keep those fairly steady in terms of the priorities, but there is opportunity to change. And so as a result, we do provide financial reviews on a quarterly basis. There is also a general review of the second year towards the end of the first year, just to make sure that the assumptions established a year and a half earlier still hold true. Now, the actual process itself is composed of about 8 steps, or at least it has been for in the recent years for the City of Goleta. And I'm going to walk you through those steps. And keep in mind that at a certain point in time, it becomes a mathematical calculation. And so if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to ask. The very first step we take before we begin crunching numbers is we take a look at the city's financial policies and practices, because this is what I consider the foundation that we are going to build this budget on. In reviewing these policies and practices, we look at budgeting principles. And the first thing we look for is the maintenance of a structural balance. Again, there's different types of balances, being able to balance. The City of Goleta has made it a critical factor to not only be in balance, but to be in a structural balance. And again, that means that your revenues that are expected to continue on an ongoing basis are sufficient to meet your ongoing commitments. And what we consider ongoing commitments are personnel that you hire with a commitment to keep those people employed, unless they were of limited duration employees, your contracts with public safety, and the basic programs that are currently being offered. That's what we consider ongoing. The next concept is a structural buffer. And what that means is that not only do we want to know that we're structurally balanced, we want to have a safety buffer in between. What that means is that not all of your ongoing revenues are going to be spent on ongoing expenses. What the council has adopted in the past is a 5% buffer, meaning only 95% of all ongoing revenues will be committed to ongoing expenditures, leaving that 5% structural buffer. And the justification for that is has a lot of validity, but one of the major benefits of doing this is that because revenue projections are exactly that, projections, we don't know for sure that all of this money is going to come in as projected. while we budget or project revenues conservatively, things happen. Recessions happen. Depressions happen. Businesses go out of business. Businesses relocate, and so all of those factors impact the city's revenues. And if you recall from our previous slide, the city's top two revenue sources are the bed tax, which is related to travel, and sales tax, which is related to what people buy in terms of taxable goods. When there is a shift in the economy, a downgrade in the economy, that is typically where you see the cuts. And so the city is particularly vulnerable. And so, and therefore, this structural buffer that we've imposed is a really good idea, not only for this organization, but probably for every organization out there, including the state and the federal government. The other budgeting principle that the city has embraced is the maximizing or the use of all other funding sources that are not general fund purposes first, giving us the most available general fund monies, so keeping those monies as free as possible by using restricted monies first to support any programs. Another component of the city's practices are the reserve policies. The city has a handful of reserves that it has set up because it has identified the needs for those reserves, not the least of which is a contingency reserve. The contingency reserve is set up to help the city help the city in a time when there is an unforeseen financial situation, and that right now is set at a 33% of the city's ongoing expenditures. So basically, if all revenues were to cease from coming into the city could still operate for a third of the year, for 4 months, with the money that it has on hand. Again, it might not be structurally balanced, but it is at least able to proceed with its operations for that time frame, and it's given an opportunity to come up with a plan as to what needs to happen next. So when developing the budget, the city council and staff review these policies, makes sure that, one, these policies is still something that the city wishes to embrace and continue to follow, and that there aren't any additional needs in case of other reserves or other needs identified by the organization. Once we've established that, we begin with the actual number calculations. And we start off first by identifying what we have to work with in as far as revenues are concerned. In order to project revenues, we use a variety of tools. We use all economic information available to us. We use historical trends. We use expert analysis in different areas, sales tax in particular. There is a consulting group that provides information, and there are economists that we engage in conversations about what they see for the city's future. And most importantly, we always budget revenues on a conservative basis, meaning that it has to be fairly likely that is going to be the outcome before we will count on those monies. Because once we count on those monies, there is an opportunity to allocate those monies. And many times we will not know that those monies are not coming in until the money has already been spent. So conservative projections is key for the city. And as mentioned before, we continually monitor revenues as well as expenditures. So that's step two. The next thing we do is we start looking at what are expenditure projections or our uses. And we've embraced the concept of base budget assumptions. And what base budget is, it's talking about the ongoing monetary commitments that the city has made in the past. Now, I want to make clear that funding commitments versus service commitments, completely two different things. Here, we're talking about funding levels, the dollar amounts. So if the city had allocated $6 million for the hiring of the sheriff contract, 31 positions, let's say, that is the funding level. Now, if in the next year, that $6 million to retain that it was not sufficient, that $6 million was not sufficient to retain those 31 positions, that is a service level change, not a, that would have to take place if you were only to use that $6 million figure. Okay? So at this point in the game, we're still talking about base budget as it relates to dollars allocated. The question that has to be posed is, at this point, is do we want to retain the existing service levels? Because if the answer is yes, then we're going to have to take that a step further. And that'll happen a little further in our presentation. Also, if we want to retain existing service levels, then we have to make sure that we are accounting for all the monies that are currently allocated to existing programs. Now, in terms of expenditure categories, we've broken it out into four categories. One is personnel, staff time that is staff that is hired or employed by the city. There's operational services and supplies. And then we've broken out the sheriff's contract separately just because it is such a significant portion of the city's budget. And then there's the component of support to outside agencies that this council has embraced from inception of cityhood. If we at this point do a mathematical calculation and subtract the revenues from the base budget adjustment here, we get a non-adjusted residual balance, meaning we now have a dollar figure of what we have left. The fourth step is now taking into... Oh, yes, please.
I'm sorry. Do you mind sharing for an example what some of the outside agencies are and what they do for the city?
Sure. This year, for example, in the current year that we're in, the City Council allocated $313,000 of support to other agencies. $100,000 of that was to the Chamber of Commerce, and it is for the promotion of the city of Goleta. And in another $100,000 was to Gersh Park. And that has been a continued support that the city has provided. And what Gersh Park does, of course, is it provides recreational opportunities for the citizens of Goleta. And then there's a handful of other smaller ticketed items. The historical, Goleta Valley Historical Society is receiving about $50,000 this year. as is the Community Center Seniors Programs, receiving $25,000. And again, there's a few other organizations, but it does total about $313,000 in the current year. Our next step is to consider the levels of services that are being requested. What is it? We knew what the city had allocated before in terms of a monetary figure to that. But now we need to ask the question, what is it going to cost to continue to provide those same levels of service in the upcoming years? And this is where we take into account inflationary factors, changes in rates, whether they're built into contracts or they just occur based on changes within the industry or the vendor. Then we also, at this point, look to see what the possibilities are of any savings, of improved efficiencies. How can we do things better and less costly? That is what every department is tasked with. And at this stage in the game is when we figure that out. What we then do is we then subtract or add, depending on what the case may be, this figure here to the number we had before. So, for example, if we projected $20 million of revenues and we knew that our base allocation was $18 million, okay, at that point, the unadjusted base or the unadjusted residual would have been about $2 million. If we now take into consideration what the monetary effects are, which are any inflationary costs, and let's say that increased another $1.5 million, then we've got about $500,000 to work with. What that is that's considered our adjusted residual. And that would be what we have to work with for new projects, additional levels of increased levels of services, or new services. Now, at this point, once we get to the adjusted residual, this is the point where some decisions have to be made. Because typically, when we get to this point, we find that what we were expecting is not what the numbers turned out to be. And so if we feel that, if the council feels actually that they have other priorities, that they want to see additional funds available to pursue other interests, then at this point they have some choices. If they're okay with the amount that they have to work with, they can proceed to the next step. Most likely, they're going to say, no, our dreams are bigger, our desires are greater, and we want to do something more. This isn't enough resources. So then we start back. We start back again, and we say, okay, then we either need to change our financial policies, our reserves, change our structural buffer, revisit revenue projections, maybe be a little bit less conservative when it comes to projecting revenues, or have us take a look, a harder look, at cost reductions and maybe service level reductions on existing programs. Okay? All of which have its positives and its drawbacks, because you're always going to impact something. Our goal is to impact service levels to our constituents in the least detrimental manner when we reach this point. assuming that we got to a point where the council is comfortable with the amount of money they have to work with, the next goal then is how to utilize those funds. And this is where the prioritization comes. The council makes known its needs and its desires. It rates them somehow for us and provides us direction so that we come back with a budget that incorporates their priorities. Sounds easier than it actually is, as you can imagine. The next step is to present council that budget that we've developed that we believe meets their needs. They then verify whether there are sufficient resources to adequately meet their needs. If it meets their expectations, then we proceed to the last step. If it doesn't, then they provide us more direction on how to proceed, how to make that budget document meet their desired outcome. And again, assuming that it did meet their needs, then we go for adoption. It is required that the budget be adopted before expending any funds for that fiscal year. And our fiscal year begins every July 1st. Any questions so far? Now, once that budget is adopted, in terms of modification, before the budget is adopted, and we're looking at modifying or enhancing services, typically how that occurs is it's a request. It's done via a formal request form that the department submits to myself, the finance director. Those are done right around mid-March in the budget preparation cycle. So before the year that's following or beginning in July. That request is reviewed by the city manager and myself. There is a meeting held with the department director and the city manager and I to talk about the additional request. At that point, a determination is made as to whether or not that recommendation is going to be forwarded to the city council. And that determination is made based on, one, is the item requested or the service enhancement requested part of the council's strategic plan, because that is one method that the council uses to articulate to us as staff what it is that they want us to focus on. And two, have they presented it in any other form as a council priority? And assuming that it meets that criteria, it would then go to the city council for consideration as part of the budget adoption process. I understand that the commission would like an overview of the Parks and Rec budget for the current year. I'm not sure that this is legible up here, but I do believe that you all have a handout of it as well. The first page is essentially a summary where if you turn the page around, you'll actually get a little bit more of the line item detail information. In salaries and benefits for the current year, the commission has approximately $31,000 to work with and a similar amount in the following year. Services and supplies, there's $30,000 in the current year and $10,000 in the following year. The reason for the difference is the $20,000 allocated for the Parks and Recreation Needs Assessment that's currently underway. For a total expenditure of about $61,000 in the current year and $41,000 in the next year. And that is the entirety of the budget for the Parks and Rec Commission and the program itself. Are there any questions that I can answer?
The salaries, is that a portion of several staff members, or who is the salaried full-time position?
It would be a portion of the staff members that oversee the operations of the commission.
I have a question.
Yes.
On slide 4, it shows that only 24% of the city's general fund revenue comes from property taxes. Where does the other 76% go?
What this 24% represents is, of the general fund, what portion property tax makes up. However, of property taxes, there is, as you know, the county imposes a 1% tax on the property, the assessed property value. The city of Goleta actually receives 5 cents of every dollar collected in property taxes. Absent revenue neutrality with the county, the city of Goleta would receive 10 cents. So it would double the amount. But because there is a tax sharing agreement with the county that was in place in order for the city to incorporate, half of the property taxes that would have been the city's are currently being taken by the county. Okay. The other 90 cents of every dollar collected in property taxes goes to a variety of agencies. One of the major beneficiaries of property taxes are the school districts, as well as the county, and various water districts and other fire district. And I want to say there's at least 12 to 16 of them. Any other questions?
I don't have a question. I just want a statement. I just want to thank you, Tina Rivera, and staff for pulling this together. The level of detail in here is really helpful, I think, for this new commission as we're building a framework and having a real understanding of all the pieces that come together and how the city works. So thank you.
You're very welcome. And I encourage you all to go onto the city's website. The budget document in its entirety is available. We also have some copies that are available for sale. If any of you wish to spend your $20 on them, again, it's there's a lot of information there that I think would benefit our constituents to realize how their money is being put to use. Again, we strive to really meet the needs of the community and provide the service levels that we feel they want and deserve. But as all municipalities, Goleta is no exception. It is always a challenge. There is never sufficient revenues to do everything we want to do. But that is always the fun and challenging aspect of our job. And we'll continue to strive for that. Thank you.
Ms. Rivera, I did have another question and a comment. During our tour of the park properties, both owned by the city and operated through partnerships. We toured the Goleta Community Center and the Gersh Park, so we knew that the city did support those operations. Didn't know exactly where the money came from, so you connected those dots for us. I think the other thing is we're aware that the city is in the development phase for a new park in Old Town Goleta. How will that operation be funded? Is that something that has to come back to the group that you talked about?
Yes.
For operational funding?
It will need operational funding because there is currently, since there is no park, there are no dedicated sources of revenue for that park.
I think it's helped for us all to understand that. I mean, all of us are eager with ideas to start new programs and buy new properties, but we've got to touch the money source before we could foster the ideas. So it's helpful to know this. Thank you again.
Yes.
Another question. Yeah. Commissioner Richards.
If I could just have some clarification from the budget, the expenditure pie chart mm-hmm. that you had. So the funds for existing parks that was just mentioned, what part of that pie is that? Would that be public works?
It would be in public works.
There? Okay.
Correct.
Thank you.
Just a personal curiosity, what is the reserve stand at right now? The total reserve, not just what's being applied this year.
I know the contingency reserve is about $5.2 million. That's a contingency reserve because that equates 33% of the city's ongoing operating expenditures for a year. There is a city hall facility reserve because the city also wishes to eventually acquire its own facility versus paying rent. And I want to say that stands, it will stand at about $1 million at the end of this fiscal year. There is some minor reserves of compensated leave balances, replacement of vehicles, all within $100,000. There are some litigation reserves. I think that's probably one of your most significant ones at about $300,000, and that's depending on what potential litigation the city foresees in its near future. And the other one is in terms of maintenance monies, and I want to say that that's somewhere in the area of about $1 million. However, that is $1 million every year going into that fund and also expected to be used every year. So roundabout figure, I would say probably somewhere close to $6 million, $7 million, but I don't have, depending on at what point in time we're talking about where it could range.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you, Ms. Rivera. We're now on to item B, consent calendar. To review the minutes from our September 11th meeting, I'm open for a motion to accept the minutes.
I move that we accept the minutes.
Do we have a second?
I second.
Any questions? All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. We're now on to item C on our calendar agenda, selection of meeting dates for our 2014 year. Mr. Automatis.
Mr. Chair and members of the commission, I know it's hard to believe that we're already talking about 2014. But Ms. Reyes-Martin has a presentation for you and a discussion about the calendar for next year. And it's important for the commission because our work will begin very early in 2014. We'll have a total of 6 meetings. And so I'm going to turn it over to Ms. Reyes-Martin for further detail on that.
Good evening, Chair and members of the Parks and Recreation Commission. As you have seen from your packet, and just a reminder, as Mr. Adamaitis mentioned, the commission is tasked with meeting 6 times during the year. So for this initial year, we were able to schedule some meetings to kind of get you guys on board. And now we're at the point where we need to schedule our meetings for the 2014 calendar year. So what you have before you are some proposed dates that staff has worked with our city clerk as well as our AV support to ensure that these dates are available. They generally coincide with the sequencing that we use for this current year. So these are the proposed dates. As you can see, we kind of tried to space them out every other month to be consistent with what we've been doing thus far. Hopefully you've had a chance to check your schedules. And I know it's a long time ahead of in advance, but I'm hoping that we can come to some agreement. And I know that there was also a question of perhaps discussing the start time for our meeting. So staff is open to discussion from the commission and any direction you'd like to provide. And I'm here for any questions you might have.
Commissioner Hart, did you have a question?
No, question? I was just going to suggest that it looks good to me.
Commissioner Barsky.
The dates look great. I do want to bring up the discussion of the time, the start time of the meeting, and propose a start time of 5:30.
Sounds great to me.
My work schedule is till 6 usually, so it's difficult for me to get here before 6.
Any other comments? I don't know if we could have a meeting without Commissioner Richards. So,
I might be able to do 6 o'clock and then leave work early those days, and that's probably a little more doable than 5:30 for me.
How does 6 sound to folks?
Yes, 6 would be better if we could.
And that works with staff. We'll just confirm that our AV support is available at 6 o'clock.
Thank you, Commissioner Richards, for your flexibility and for others for agreeing.
Thank you all.
Actually, I have one thing.
Commissioner Wallen.
Just something. I know already that I won't be here for the Wednesday, May 28th date. I will be coming back the 31st. So I don't know if that would work the next Wednesday after that. That would be a June meeting, and it kind of messes up the every other month thing. But just letting you know that. Would there be a possibility to change that date to the next Wednesday?
If the commission chooses to meet on that day, we can certainly check to see if both the council chambers and staff and our AV equipment are available. So we'd have to get back to you on that. But we would like direction from the commission to look at that other date.
Mr. Barsky, any thoughts?
Yes. What about moving it forward? 1 week, would you be here? Because I can't do it the first week in June, but I can move forward in May.
I'll be gone from the 15th through the 31st.
Oh.
Commissioner West.
I have just a topic to discuss. You know, as we all look to all of next year, many of us, you know, hope we'll be able to attend every meeting, but yet we don't know if we all will at this time. Should we just stick with what staff has advised and then, you know, through the course of the year, if one of us have to be gone for something, that's just the nature of this group, or would staff prefer that we find dates where today we all know we'll for sure be there at that time?
Well, before we get feedback from staff, I'm wondering if we could move a date in either direction and or a time in either direction of that date. So you can't go back and you can only go forward. How about you, Commissioner Barsky? Is there a time?
Well, and one thing, if I may, what we can do, since these dates are so far ahead of time, as we get closer to that date, if we can agree on these dates, we can definitely provide feedback on any accommodation we might have for a different meeting time And again, these dates are also dependent on, you know, items that we have for the committee as well.
So I'm hearing maybe a suggestion that we as a group agree in concept, at least through a consensus, that this is a good calendar to start with. And as we get close to those dates, I think Commissioner West said it best, if one of us or all of us can't be there, then we have to make adjustments. So if that's acceptable, we'll move it to 6 p.m. Yes, and we'll accept a motion to adopt this calendar.
I move we adopt the calendar as written, with the exception of 6 o'clock start time.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Are there any discussion, further discussion, rather? Seeing none, all in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? I hear none. The motion passes.
And Chair Rojas, I just want to let you know that there were no speakers for this item.
Thank you for the reminder.
Mr. Chair and members of the commission, we also just wanted to remind the commission that the first meeting of 2014 in January will involve the selection of the chair and vice chair, and we just wanted to bring that to your attention.
Thank you.
Thank you. We are now on item D, future agenda items. Do we have something from staff?
Yes, I just wanted to briefly give you a little sneak peek for especially your January meeting, and then Mr. Adamaitis will follow up with a couple of more updates. But as was mentioned at your January meeting, what we will seek to do is have you elect a chair and vice chair for the upcoming calendar year. So that will take place at your January meeting. We'll also be continuing to provide you updates and information on the REC needs assessment. Another big item that will probably be at either your first or second meeting is, as you had previously met our advanced planning manager, Ann Wells, she will have a series or a comprehensive presentation on some of the city's environmental management plans that the Parks and Recreation Commission should be aware of and have a little bit more in-depth knowledge of. And those include the butterfly habitat management plan, which is in its draft form right now, the Elwood Mesa Sperling Preserve open space plan, the Lake Los Carneros Natural and Historical Preserve management plan, the community wildfire prevention plan, and I mentioned the butterfly management plan. So she will be coming again to provide a presentation on each of those plans for the commission in your upcoming meetings in 2014.
Great. You know, I was just reminded of a question. Oh, I'm sorry. Was there?
Yeah. I have a question.
Okay. Well, before I let go, well, maybe it's something you were going to ask. Go ahead, Commissioner.
Well, I don't know if this was my question earlier, but I did. I was wondering, you mentioned the update in January on the REC needs assessment, and I was wondering if there's any update you could provide even now, because I did notice from the minutes that the deadline for the request for proposals would have been, and I wanted to see if you had any information about that.
Commissioner Richards, under the director's report section of the agenda, I have a update for you that I'll be sharing.
Go ahead.
Did you have a question, Commissioner Hart? That was my question. Commissioner West.
Just a comment. I would like to acknowledge all the hard work that has been going on as
as one of the city's monarch butterfly docents. I think that a big applause needs to go to all these people for all the hard work that they've been doing, and the study and the research and the hours going out there already. They have all been really active doing that for us. So I think it's wonderful. They've had trainings. They have upcoming trainings coming this Saturday and requesting people to come and learn how to do the counts. I mean, it's really amazing what is going on. And I thought since we're all park commissioners, I just wanted to applaud all the work that they've been doing. Thank you.
I'd like to second that appreciation.
I think we're good. Director's report.
I'm not sure if this is the time to bring up future agenda items. I don't know if this applies, but it's just a minor operational proposal that I have, and that was something I discussed with Luz already, which was, could we come to an agreement possibly on having these packets be all electronic instead of having packets prepared and picked up each meeting? That's my proposal.
Staff's happy to accommodate that request, and we'll work with the city clerk in reducing the paper that's involved in the production of the packet, and certainly if you would like it electronically, we can provide that.
Yeah, I understand maybe some people might want it in paper. I don't. I can also do it electronically, so thank you.
I agree. I'll take it electronically.
Does anybody need paper? I think you can see from our response or no response, electronic will work.
Okay.
So thank you.
Yeah.
I thought that's what I was doing. I think we are on item E, right?
Correct.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chair and members of the Commission, we have five items to provide updates to you tonight on the Director's Report portion of tonight's agenda. The first item relates to the Recreation Needs Assessment. The RFP, the Request for Proposals, were released in September and closed in October 14th. The city received two proposals in totality. Both of the proposals submitted included budget proposals that were significantly above the council allocated budget within our adopted budget. Staff continues to work with this issue and may actually involve further work from staff with working with the consultant and also the budget issue. So at this time, staff is not prepared to bring this item to you for review and recommendation to begin the work under the contract. So this item will be coming back to you very likely in early 2014. So we only received two proposals in totality. Correct. Yes. So it's a challenge for us. And quite frankly, to be brief, the challenge is the scope of work that was identified is far exceeds the budget allocation. And so staff has made attempts to look at how to reduce the scope to bring it within budget, but we're still not there yet. And so we may have to do some further work related to that. And I know the commission is very interested in the rec needs assessment, as is staff. So we are working very hard with Ms. Reyes-Martin to get this item moving forward as quickly as possible. So that's one of five updates I have for you. Number two is we just recently have a new community resource deputy. You recall earlier this year we had a tour out on the Bluffs with community resource deputy Greg Sorensen, who rode up on his mountain bike. The community resource deputy, senior deputy Sorensen, is now on patrol, and we wished him well, and we really hated to see him leave. He's done such a great job for the city, but we're equally excited about our new community resource deputy. In fact, if the commission's interested, we may bring him into one of the meetings next year just to introduce you to him. We did an introduction in front of the council recently. His name is David Velazquez. He's a local resident, and very excited about his coming on board and helping us out. And so you'll be seeing more of Mr. Velazquez. One of the things that we've asked him to do is for next year, you'll notice that we're in new council chambers setting here. That's very nice. But one of the things that I want to be sure, as part of the other hat that I wear here at the city as the Director of Public Safety, is to ensure that all of you have proper evacuation and safety training, as some of the training that we do through the Sheriff's Department with all of the appointed and elected bodies of the city. That includes the Council and the Planning Commission, the Design Review Board, and some of the other committees and commissions. So we will be scheduling that next year early to ensure that everybody knows what to do in the event of an emergency. Item number three, on October 3rd, we had the skateboard workshop for the proposed Hollister-Kellogg Park, the new park that we all had an opportunity to tour and really kind of see on the ground what this park is all about. There's a component to that park called the skate park, Skateboard Plaza, and we're working with a very capable firm called consultants called the Spahn Ranch Skate Parks with Van Atta and Associates. Mr. Rojas still has his handout. And did you get any of the stickers also that were there? There was lots of stickers. But I believe Chair Rojas and also Vice Chair Barsky was there. Did I miss anybody else from the commission who was there? The feedback that I received from a number of people who were at the meeting was very good, the workshop, and we were very pleased to see the depth of that work. And so the consultant has since refined the design based on the input received at this workshop. It's anticipated that the cost for the skateboard park plaza approaches roughly $100,000. Item number four, Hollister-Kellogg Park. Staff continues to work with the design team in the preparation of construction documents for the Hollister-Kellogg Park. Currently, the focus is on civil engineering plans, including utilities, grading, and stormwater treatment. The project is not expected to go out to bid until early spring. That schedule is also contingent on the city acquiring the site through the redevelopment property disposition process pending at the state level. And my last and final item is the city recently submitted a grant application for a Coastal Resource Enhancement Fund, a CREF grant. This was with the county requesting $80,000 to assist in the purchase of a third of an acre parcel at the south end of Elwood Beach Drive. The city has been acquiring parcels in this area to not only ensure access to the Sperling Preserve and the Elwood Mesa, but also to preserve and acquire property for open space. And this area is characterized by riparian, monarch butterfly, and raptor habitat. It is also a key piece in providing access from Elwood Beach Drive into the Sperling Preserve. The county is not expected to take action on our grant application until February 2014. So as you can see, quite a number of things are happening. And we will keep the commission apprised of our efforts and our progress on these various initiatives. That concludes my report. I also wanted to thank our city clerk, Ms. Deborah Lopez, and also Ms. Reyes-Martin for all the work out on the butterfly preserve. I know she was out there last weekend, I believe. So it's really great to see all of these efforts out there, I think, as Commissioner West pointed out, to really see the people that are involved behind all these things. There's real people involved, the volunteer group, the docents, all of the work that goes on to make a really, I think, Goleta a really special place. And the butterfly season is coming into the season, so I encourage all of you to take a chance and on a good day when it's not raining or too cold to get out and really see the butterflies and the monarchs and really just appreciate what's out there. It's a great time of year to do that. That concludes my director's report. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have at this time.
Commissioner West.
Just one quick question. When you mentioned the $100,000 for the design work for the skateboard park, did you have that? Was that money a part of your original estimated expense for the park, or is that going to be beyond budget?
Commissioner West, the staff has anticipated that the cost for the, I believe it's the construction of the plaza itself, will cost $100,000, not the actual design. And we did actually try to factor in as much of a contingency into the project budget to account for these costs.
Oh, great. I had a any other questions? I had a question about the elected officials training or something of that variation. Do we need to hold that training during a regular commission session? And if the answer is no, could that be some adjusted date in June when we're all here and there's no conflict?
Is that 12:34?
Chair, if I may, are you speaking in regards to the AB 1234, the ethics training?
The training that the director just mentioned, yeah, the public safety for electric officials.
Oh, I see. Okay, I'll let him.
Yeah, the emergency training. We could absolutely do it during a regular agendized meeting, so we don't need to schedule a separate meeting. If the clerk's okay with that, I think we've done that with council.
Okay. Well, I'm just thinking out loud that could it be a Saturday or a non-regular meeting, some day that's convenient for us.
How long is the projected time for training?
Not very long. I think previous training sessions have been an hour and maybe less than 2 hours total, because there's some exercises and some drills that we go through. There's no action taken whatsoever, obviously, because it's a training session. So we could work with the commission in setting up a date and time in that, or include it in one of the meetings that we have scheduled, so we're not being duplicative.
Chair Rojas, was there a reason you wanted it isolated from a regular meeting?
Well, it's just to accommodate the anticipated absence of one of our commissioners and or give us flexibility to get together in a non-Wednesday meeting time.
Oh, but we'll have other meetings where presumably all of us will be here anyway, yeah. So we'll just avoid the questionable
May.
Meeting
right,
times.
The May meeting, potentially.
Yeah.
Okay.
We said sure. early 2014 anyway, so
we were
probably January or March.
We'll work around that, sure.
All right. Thank you. I think if there's no other questions, comments, or concerns, our meeting is adjourned. Thank you, everyone.